praise and we give you glory. We thank you because we are a people called by your name, and into your presence we have come this morning. And the only reason we know we come to your presence is because we know that our destiny is in your hands. You are the potter, we are the clay. You can make of us your desires. We also know, O God, that you have the absolute authority over everything on earth and in heaven. We know that you are such a mighty God who can do all things. Our Daddy and our God, I pray this morning that, Lord, as many as will have expectation before you, O God, that you meet such expectation today in Jesus' name. You are an unchanging God. Is anyone at a point that they are becoming doubtful of the vision you have given them? Is anyone at a point of giving up on life? You are life itself. Father, reveal yourself to such a one today in Jesus' name. Thank you as you bless your people. And I pray, O God, that no one who will be under the sound of my voice today will go home untouched and unchanged in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've always said that it's a privilege to be able to stand before you to minister the gospel. It's such a wonderful privilege. And it's purely the doing of the Lord. And I take it with total humility before God this morning as I proclaim his word to you. When God gave me this topic, this was the way he asked me to put it down, and I quickly put it down before, so I didn't change it. And I want to believe that it's for somebody this morning, because God wants to do something in someone's life. The title of the message is The Lord the Enforcer. The Lord the Enforcer. The Lord the Enforcer. We are going to take a look at some of the things that God will enforce. And I believe that once we've taken a look at them, our hearts will be positioned to enjoy peace. You will enjoy the peace of the Lord in Jesus' name. Open your book, the faithful book, to Acts chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 34 to 39. Acts 5, 34 to 39 is a story we know very well, but God has a way of bringing something out of what we already know. Acts 5, 34 to 39. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Judas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Praise the Lord. Many of us will have read this passage many times over. We know the story that led to this. God had used the apostles mightily because it was in the early days of what you and I are enjoying today. And the men of tradition, the established authority, felt threatened. And they tried to look for a way to silence the apostles. And one of those in council, Gamaliel, spoke in this wise, to say that if the work and the move at the time was of God, that the Lord would surely establish it. Thank God, you and I are products of that established work. That is why we can come to serve the Almighty God. That is why we can come together to rejoice and praise the name of Jesus. Because God decided to establish his work. It then goes without saying that that which is going to endure is that which God himself has established. Therefore, we will do ourselves a lot of favor to make our life God's own project. Your life will become God's own project from today in Jesus' name. The reason we need to make our lives God's own project is what we have just seen, because only those things that God himself establishes will endure. Things that are not established by God may endure for a time, but eventually God's counsel will prevail. And takes me to the first point, is that there are things that God will enforce in life, and these are things that he himself has established. He will enforce certain things in life. For example, the number one thing that God will enforce in life is his own counsel. God will always enforce his counsel. I want you to open your Bible to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 8 to 11. I said, God will always establish his own counsel when the counsel is of the Lord. It does not matter how foolish it may sound. It does not matter how unintelligent it may be. Because God has a way of confounding the wise with the foolish things of this world, That is why when he decided that the gospel needed to go to people, he did not choose somebody from the king's palace. And when Jesus was going to choose his disciples, he picked the rejects and the non-influential people so he could make something beautiful out of their lives. He will make something beautiful out of your life in Jesus' name. Psalm 33 verse 8 to 11, he said, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." So we know that one of the things that will stand and one of the things that God will enforce is his counsel. What this means, why does God need to enforce his counsel? God needs to enforce his counsel because even when God makes a counsel known, there will be forces that will rise against the counsel of God. We spoke about hope this morning. Many of us have been holding on to a certain scripture. Many of us have been holding on to a certain word of God. Many of us have received words of prophecy. Hands have been laid on us. And we have been expectant. And it looks like we are not seeing manifestation of it. The good news is that the counsel of the Lord will stand, even if you are yet to see it. And the reason his counsel will be able to stand is because he has authority over everything and has authority over every counsel. He makes his own counsel to stand and nullifies the counsel of the wicked, or every counsel that is opposed to his counsel, he nullifies. It does not matter how intelligent that counsel may be. I think I've said it over and over and over again that if you look properly well, the counsel of, if you think in terms of the wisdom of man, it was very, in fact, it was the most proper thing to do at that time. The only thing that was wrong with the counsel of Ahithophel was that it was not in keeping with the counsel of God for that hour. That was why it failed. Your counsel will not fail in Jesus' name. The counsel of man without God has a tendency to fail. Because the Bible makes us to understand where we have just read. It said man has many devices. But only the counsel that is in line with the counsel of God has a tendency to stand. Because the counsel of God prevails over every counsel. In Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21. The Bible says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." So, if you have not been seeking the face of God to know his mind concerning that thing you want to do, I want you to go to him now, having heard his word today, because his counsel is the one that will stand. Go back to him, ask his mind concerning that project, ask his mind concerning that situation, ask his mind concerning that decision you want to take. Because only the counsel that he has established will stand. In Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, the Bible in particular tells us to be careful whose counsel we take. Because he knows that a particular counsel leads to destruction. And that there is a counsel that leads to a life that will prosper and blossom before God. And that life is your life in Jesus' name. There is a man in the Bible called Nimrod. Many of us will remember. What was Nimrod known for? Praise the Lord, Nimrod. Is he connected to the Tower of Babel? Praise the Lord. The children of God, the children of men had a council in the time of Nimrod to build the tower. They were united and nobody was going to stop them. They could do anything that they wanted to do. Somebody said that they had in their mind, they thought that God was going to, was going to bring the earth into a close again through the flood. So they thought the way to go about it is to build a tower that would surpass any flood. But what happened? Because God was not in the agenda, it failed. Your agenda will not fail in Jesus' name. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 19, God had a counsel in the life of a young man. His name was Joseph. Genesis 37:19. Let's open to that place. God had a counsel for the life of a young man whose name was Joseph. And of course, we all know the story how he shared his dream with his brothers. One day he was sent to them. And as he approached, they said something about him. Genesis 37:19. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." As soon as Joseph was coming, the brother said, "Look, see, this dreamer is here." In other words, he was a mirage chaser. That his life was going to stop at the level of his dream. That man could do something that would change what he saw as a vision for his life. But because the hand of God was upon Joseph, everything that was done that was meant to make that dream remain a dream and not a reality was what was used as an instrument that turned the dream to a reality. And my prayer for you this morning is this: every step you are going to take in your life will begin to make your dream come to reality in Jesus' name. In other words, you better dream good dreams. You better dream godly dreams. And we can only dream godly dreams if we meditate upon the word of God. We can only dream godly dreams if we see ourselves in the light of the word of God. Somebody said that we have to move from knowing to seeing. We have to move from knowing the word to seeing in the word. You begin to see in the word in Jesus' name. When we begin to see in the word, we begin to see our life in the word. You begin to see your promotion in the word. You begin to see your upliftment in the word. You begin to see your strength in the word. You begin to see your victory in the word. You are not just knowing, that God is able, but the picture is being painted before your very eyes. Every time you read the word of God, you begin to see the reality. I think I've shared this with you before, of an evangelist that visited a church, and he was told about the wife of one of the pastors in the church who had problem with her eyes and couldn't see. And the evangelist went to her and prayed for her and asked her, "Can you see?" As they were praying, the woman opened her eyes and said, "I can see nothing." The man said, "Cross your eyes." I said, "Can you see?" She opened her eyes again. I said, "I can see nothing." He said, "Close your eyes." Until the Spirit of God ministered to her. And as she closed her eyes, and he said, "Can you see?" He said, "Yes, I can see." And he said, "Open your eyes." And she started seeing. In other words, we have to see in the spiritual eyes before we can see in the physical eyes. She started seeing her physical in her spiritual eyes, and she became one who could see in the physical. When you begin to see in the Word of God your life as God has proposed it, it starts to manifest. And when you see your life in line with the Word of God, when the world offers you something different, you will refuse it. That is why you have to refuse sickness in the name of Jesus. You have to refuse failure in the name of Jesus, because you are not patterned after that. We need to keep looking and look very well in Jesus' name. What about the 40 Jews in Acts chapter 23, verse 12 to 15? God had a counsel how he wanted to use Paul at that time. But the people there had a different counsel on how to stop the work from growing, on how to stop the gospel from moving. But the counsel of God prevailed in the life of Paul. The counsel of God will prevail in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. In order for God to fulfill his counsel, he will use anything and everything, even things that we don't think are possible or are possible instruments in his hand. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 8 to 11. I want us to read the whole of that passage, because we are going to be taking a couple of points from there. Isaiah 46, 8 to 11. "Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. Yeah, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it, I will also do it." Take note of verse 11 in particular. The Bible says when God wants to fulfill his counsel, he may choose to bring a man from a far country, somebody you don't know. He become an instrument in the hand of the Lord, somebody you have never met before. Things you think have no chance of succeeding, They begin to succeed because God has proposed that he wants to do something. He will enforce his counsel in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And that one whom God will use to be a blessing to you, he will send your way in the mighty name of Jesus. Because there are always people to do the will of God. There are always people, there will never fail God a man who will do his will. That was what Elijah had to realize when he thought he was the only one that was left. And God said, look, I've got people in reserve who will do my will. You'll be one of them in the mighty name of Jesus. One other thing that God will enforce is his word. God will always enforce his word irrespective of the circumstance, irrespective of the situation. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God will always enforce his word. I learned the lesson of my life this week. I mean, one of the lessons of my life. And I told my wife about it. I mean, we all know it. I was just looking at the political debate in the country and the position of a leader and what it means for a leader to say something and follow through. And it just clicked in my head, and I said, no wonder when God speaks, he follows through. When God says, this is what I'm going to do, be sure that God will do it. In Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In other words, the word of God stands fast. It stands fast without change. Irrespective of the circumstance, irrespective of what is going on, the word of God will forever prevail, and that word will prevail in your life in Jesus' name, and that word will prevail in your situation in the mighty name of Jesus. But if the word of God is going to prevail, that word of God has to be activated. I've told you that the word of God does not get activated until we speak the word of God out. The Christian culture is changing. We speak prose, poems, and many things, many, you know, colorful languages, but less of the word of God. Those are not the things that activate the performance of the miracles we are expecting from God. It is not the color of our language. It is not how we put it forward. It is the word, and it is the word that brings about a change. That is why we are laying emphasis on memory verse now. Because it is that word that we are going to use to confront situations. It is that word that has a creative ability. It's that word that is able to cause an explosion. In that situation that you send it to, it is not how colorful our language is that will do something. That's why these days you see a lot of people, they can come to you, and I've seen it sometimes. People come, they even preach, they don't even open the Bible. They don't even go to the Bible. You know, you take one verse and then you parabolate and speak colorful things and motivate people and do, but the power. That is why lives don't change. That is why nothing is different. That is why we don't live like Christians anymore, except the word, except we are bathed in the word itself. There cannot be a change. There will be a change in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. That word stands and that word has power. The word of man does not have power, but the word of God is powerful. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel 13. I will show you something there. Colorful word is not enough, or good word is not enough, but it's what God says. Ezekiel 13, I will read verse 10 and 11 and then 22 to 23. He said, Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, when there is no peace. And because when one builds a flimsy wall, behold, these prophets daub it over with whitewash. Say to them who daub it with whitewash that it shall fall. There shall be a downpour of rain, and you, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a violent wind shall tear apart the whitewashed flimsy wall. In other words, every colorful wall of man will not contain power. They cannot change lives. They cannot take people to the level that God wants them to be operating at. They are good to the hearing. They are wonderful. You know, prophecy may even come forward to say, look, the peace of God is upon you. This is good. This is wonderful. But the word of God, that is the one that will stand. We have to speak the word of God to align our life with his word in order to reap the benefit of the kingdom. Read verse 22 and 23. He now says, because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. No wonder we are no longer seeing in our churches anymore. We are no longer seeing to the future. We have become so superficial. Because God is saying, you are saying peace when there is no peace. When people should return to the right path, when people should align themselves with the word of God, and they are not doing it, and you say, oh brother, this is wonderful, don't worry. The grace of God is sufficient for you. Sister, don't bother. You are not the only one who is there. Many people are doing it. Don't worry. But God is saying, don't speak peace when there is no peace. Because peace is in the word of God. Because God will always establish his word. And that is the position we have to attain in order to prosper from him. You will prosper in Jesus' name. I say you will prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. Matthew 24 verse 35, Jesus was saying, he said, the word of God will not pass away. And that verse is still true today. That word of God will not pass away. My brothers and sisters, we have to return to the word. The word will simply not pass away. The word will simply not change. We are the one who have to change. We have to change to align ourselves with the word. In 2 Kings chapter 7 verses 1 and 2 and also 17, the word of God came forth, and the prophet of God spoke and said there was going to be a change in the situation of Samaria. The Lord on whom the hand of the king leaned said, no, it's not possible. The Bible says, where are the disputers of this world? Where are those with good arguments against the word of God? Who are those who have knowledge that will gainsay that which heaven has established? And what happened? Within 24 hours, the destiny of Samaria changed for good. Your destiny will change for good in Jesus' name. God also enforces covenants. He enforces covenants. When he makes his covenant, be sure that God will keep it. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 15, the Bible says, God remembers his covenants. He remembers his covenants. When he promises, he remembers that he has promised. And he will keep it. Somebody may be asking me, why then is my prayer not being answered? I have used the word of God. My answer to you is that God remembers. And he still remembers you. And he will bring his word to pass in your life in Jesus' name. I like it when it was read this morning. If you look at one of the passages, it actually talks about the patience of hope. In other words, hope has patience. So it's not just enough to hope, but hope has patience attached to it. As you hope in the Lord, you will not be put to shame in the mighty name of Jesus. But not everybody will benefit from the covenant of God. Or not everybody will get into a covenant with God. I've always told us something. I said, look, in order for God to do what he wants to do, or for us to benefit from the things of God, there are things we need to do. I want you to open your Bible to Numbers chapter 25. The book of Numbers chapter 25. Let's look at somebody who suddenly found himself in a place of covenant with the Lord. Because you too might find yourself in a place of covenant with the Lord if you will do what God wants you to do. Numbers 25. We're going to read verse 11 to 13. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. How many of us we want God to cut covenant with us? Are we going to be like Phinehas? God said of him two things. He was zealous for the things of God. And he was what? He made atonement. So, the one that God will cut a covenant with will be the one who is quick to repent and zealous for the things of God. Who else do you know that has that kind of characteristic? King David. Quick to repent, zealous for the things of God. And God said, as for Eleazar, I'm cutting a covenant with him. There will never fail him a priest in his lineage. So my promise to him is not just to him, but to his seed after him. You will enjoy the covenant of God from today in Jesus' name. All that you need to do is to be zealous for the things of God. All that you need to do is to be quick to repent. What did he do? When the children of Israel went away and Moses called for a restitution, Phinehas was a man who would not hold back to right the wrongs that have been done. And instead of God destroying the whole camp, God decided that he was not going to destroy them. You will be the one that will seek the face of God for the people in Jesus' name. If you are an intercessor, that is your role. You stand the opportunity of cutting a covenant with God when you intercede for others. That was what Phinehas did. God is still looking for people who will say, what is going on is not right. I am standing in the gap. God is never going to cut covenant with people who will join the crowd to do evil. God will never cut a covenant with us if we are afraid to be different. The reason why our stars are not shining is because we are too afraid to be different. I've told us many times over, I said, look, many of us may go around and say that wacko jacko. You know, everyone say, you know, the guy was so absurd. He was this, he was that. And I said, the reason he stood out was because of his absurdity. If he did what everyone else was doing, nobody would take notice of him. If you are just like everyone else, you cannot be an ego. Your star will shine in Jesus' name. I say your star will shine in the mighty name of Jesus. And one of the ways that your star will shine is this. Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 17 verse 15. Proverbs 17, 15. This is how you are going to shine. He said, he that justified the wicked and he that condemned the just, even they both are abominations to the Lord. I said, this is how you are going to shine. Maybe there is a new culture in town. There is a new belief. There's somebody who is doing something ungodly, and everyone has decided to rationalize it and say, look, this is so wonderful. You know, that is the way to go. You know, he's doing the right thing, so creative. The Bible is saying, he that justifies that wickedness is an abomination. In other words, if you are going to prosper with the Lord, you must be the one who is willing to take a stand and say, this is ungodly. Or you see somebody who is godly, and because it does not accord with popular demand, and you join them in condemning that person, then you have no way with God. Will you be able to stand? Will you be able to be different and to speak for what is right? That is what we are calling to. It does not matter how many people are believing it. It does not matter how many people are going that way. Can you stand out? Or will you join the crowd to justify the wicked and approve of things that are ungodly? God will help us in Jesus' name. In saying this, I will say to you, there are some people you must never say evil against in your life if you are going to prosper. There are some people you must never say evil against them, because that's what the Bible says. Say, he who justifies the wicked or condemns the righteous, if you condemn the righteous, that is why you must know the end of every matter. You must understand every matter before you dish out condemnation. Psalm 105, verse 13 to 15. We all know it when it says, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm." You don't have to have knowingly done it. You don't have to have knowingly done it or not. King Ahimelech, when he took Abraham's wife, he didn't know that it was Abraham's wife. But God told him, said, "You are lucky that you didn't touch her. Because if you had done it, you would have died." He didn't know. He would have died of an error that he didn't know of. Because Abraham was a man of covenant. That is why, when you carry the covenant of God and His presence goes with you, you become untouchable. Every evil around you, you become untouchable to evil. And that will be your story in Jesus' name. Just like Abraham. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, "It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy." If you know that Jesus is your hope, if you know that Jesus is your source, you will walk in that confidence. He said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Begin to declare it. Begin to say it. Begin to declare it and begin to say it, that I am redeemed of the Lord, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So it doesn't matter what has been put in your way right now, what you are going through. All that you need to do is a declaration of the victory of Jesus in your life. Speak victory. Speak success. Speak strength. Speak breakthrough this week. Begin to make pronouncements of the goodness of God upon your life, because His covenant stands. Of course, you know that we cannot be part of His covenant except, of course, we're in right standing with Him by giving our life to Christ. And lastly, God has a way of enforcing destiny. God has a way of enforcing destiny. God will enforce your destiny in Jesus' name. A lot of people don't know. They don't, you know, when things start to happen, we don't know to run back to Him, because He's an enforcer of destiny. Many of us will agree with me that some of the decisions, you know, some of the things we did, we will just know it was not because of how rational we were. It was not because of how intelligent we were, that God Himself has simply just positioned us for that time, for that thing, for that purpose. And that is why we are there. This is the word that God gave to me, that gave me peace this week. And I want to share it with you. Can you just open your Bible to Revelation chapter 3? Revelation chapter 3. He is an enforcer. He also enforces destiny. He enforced the destiny of Joseph. When other people call it dream, God call it reality. Because the Bible says He called those things that be not as though they were. God was already seeing him as a prime minister when other people were seeing him as a dreamer. Revelation 3, verse 8 and 9. He said, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door." Can we read the next place together? "And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. That was to the church in Philadelphia. He said, look, you have a little strength. In other words, the little that you have, if you will serve God fervently, if you would immerse yourself in him, if you would serve him with zealously, God says he will remember. You don't have to be somebody else in order to be effective in serving God, in praising God, in worshiping him. He remembered the church in Philadelphia and he said, even though you have a little strength, you have kept my word, you have not denied my name, you are able to proclaim my name in the midst of people, you are not afraid to speak of my goodness. The psalmist says, I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. I will make known his wonderful works. You are not afraid to declare his power over your life. He said, because the church in Philadelphia was like that. He said, look, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Every door God has opened in your life, no man will be able to shut it in Jesus' name. He enforces destiny. He makes sure it comes to pass. The only problem is, most times we are one leg in and one leg out. One leg in, one leg out. God wants to fight on our behalf. God wants to enforce our destiny, but we are not standing firm. The church in Philadelphia was small, was little, but they stood firm, and God had nothing against them. And he said, because you have stood firm, the door I have opened before you, nobody can shut it. As a child of God, you walk out from this gathering this morning to face this coming week. There will be many things, many challenges that will come into your life, at home, in your place of work, in the people you interact with. Some of the things will put you in doubt or want to challenge your belief in God. But God is saying to you this morning that door, it is not about you worshiping man. It's not about the hero in your life. It's about him who has opened a door and can keep it open. And he will keep that door open in your life in Jesus' name. He says, no man. And no man means no man. One man that understood this secret was Jabesh. He knew that his destiny was not in the hand of man, even though his mom was the one who made the pronouncement. He decided that there is somebody who opens the door that no man can shut it. And he went to that one and pleaded his case. If you plead your case this morning, he will hear you. He will open the door before you that no man can close in Jesus' name. He enforces the door of your prosperity when he says, you know, that's why he gives the law of sowing and reaping. If you open, if you keep to that word, you see, he will open a door before you that no man can close. He also enforces the law of retribution. He said, for whatever a man sowed, so shall he reap. He enforces the law of life and death. He said, I am God, and there is none besides me. I kill, and I make alive. King Ezekiah understood that. That was why when he was told he was going to die, he knew who enforces the law of life. And he went to him on his knees and said, God, I'm not ready yet. Remember me. And God remembered him. God will remember you today in Jesus' name. He enforces the law of power and success. Psalm 113. As we close, Psalm 113, verse 7 to 9. Psalm 113 verse 7 to 9. You say, He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. That's him. Irrespective of your pedigree, God can catapult you to the limelight. He enforces it. Because promotion only comes from him. True promotion, good success comes from him. No one rules without him. Because by strength shall no man prevail. He said, the strength of the young may fail them. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon him. Let us just rise on our feet this morning, because he's able to enforce your destiny. I want you to speak to the Lord and say, Lord, you are the destiny enforcer. Every dream of my life, bring it to pass now in Jesus' name. Everything that appeared to be a mirage, that looks like a dream now, Father, make it a reality. Because when you open a door, no man can shut it. Let no man be able to shut the door against me in Jesus' name. I've heard your word. No man can shut the door against me, because you have opened the door. Let no man shut the door against me in Jesus' name. Nobody will be able to, because you are in charge. You are in control. You are in charge. Can we please bring the element, please? We are going to bring the element, please. And let's pass it round. Again, in Jesus' name, He is the one who has opened the door for you. Understand in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Before you, we now understand that there are things you will enforce. You will enforce your counsel. Daddy, we will never be against your counsel in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, whatever we do, we will never be on the wrong side of you all the days of our lives in Jesus' name. Father, we know you will enforce your word. Lord, Jesus said, the word that I speak to you, their spirit and their life. We ask, oh God, that the life of the word becomes our life from today in Jesus' name. The world will not see us, but they will see the life in your word in us in Jesus' name. You enforce covenants. Lord, because your covenant of day and night cannot be broken, therefore, O Lord, your covenant of peace upon us will never be broken in Jesus' name. Your covenant of victory for us will never be broken in Jesus' name. You enforce destinies. You said concerning the church in Philadelphia, you say, I know thy works. Behold, I've said before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. It will be said of your children, O God, that they have kept your word, and they have not denied your name. Therefore, every door you have opened in their life, any man born of a woman will not be able to shut it in Jesus' name. No circumstance, no situation working together, will be able to shut that door against them in Jesus' name. They will live and experience the victory of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we share the grace in fellowship?